Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. It's Friday, and you know what that means. Time for our deep dive.
That's right.
Into a topic that's been making waves all week.
Definitely buzzing around the cybersecurity world.
It's the brand new Executive Order on Cybersecurity Innovation.
Huge implications.
Officially titled Executive Order on Strengthening and Promoting Innovation in the Nation's Cybersecurity.
A mouthful.
It is.
But it lays out some ambitious goals.
Really sets the stage for some big changes in how we think about cyber defense.
For sure.
So at its core, this EO has kind of a dual focus, right?
Yeah.
Bolstering national cybersecurity, especially against threats from countries like China, and then also really driving innovation in the field.
Absolutely.
What aspects of the EO stand out to you as particularly significant?
One of the key takeaways for me is the emphasis on software supply chain security.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we've seen those major attacks that exploit vulnerabilities in software supply chains.
SolarWinds, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this EO aims to address that head on.
Oh, so.
Well, one really interesting detail is that software providers are going to be required to submit machine-readable attestations about their secure development practices.
So basically, like a digital seal of approval,
right,
saying, hey, we built this software securely.
Exactly. Proving it's been built with security in mind from the ground up.
It makes you wonder if this could lead to a kind of nutrition label for software security.
Ooh, interesting.
Where consumers can easily see how secure a product is.
Kind of like those energy efficiency ratings on appliances.
Yeah, exactly.
Before they buy it.
I like that. A security rating right on the box.
Transparency.
Transparency and accountability in software supply chains are becoming so important.
For sure.
This EO also establishes CISA's repository for software attestation and artifacts, or RSAA.
RSAA, got it.
Where these attestations will be stored and validated.
Makes sense. Got to have a central hub for all that.
Right. And here's the kicker. CISA will be publicly posting the results of their validation process. Whoa. So public pressure on software providers to step up their game.
Yeah. It's a move towards greater transparency and could really incentivize companies to prioritize security.
Yeah. No one wants to be at the bottom of that list.
Exactly. And the EO also tasks NIST with developing and updating guidance on secure software development. So we'll have robust standards in place as well.
Sounds like they're trying to create a more secure foundation for our digital world, starting with the software itself.
Yeah, building security in from the ground up.
Okay, so we've got the software piece, but what about the systems that run on this software?
Right.
Especially within the federal government.
That's another key area the EO addresses.
Okay.
There's a big push for modernizing federal system.
Modernizing how?
By adopting industry best practices, particularly in identity and access management.
Makes sense. Got to keep up with the times.
Absolutely. And one example is that FCEB agencies will be piloting phishing-resistant authentication options.
Like
WebAuthn.
Oh, WebAuthn. That's been getting a lot of buzz in the security community.
It has.
It's about ditching passwords, which we all know are vulnerable, right?
Right.
And instead using things like hardware tokens or biometrics.
Much stronger authentication.
Yeah, this push towards a passwordless future could really reduce those phishing attacks.
For sure.
But do you think we're really ready to say goodbye to passwords?
I think it's a big shift, for sure. But the benefits in terms of security are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. No more remembering dozens of complex passwords.
Or resetting them every other week.
Exactly. And the EO also focuses on beefing up CISA's ability to hunt for threats within federal systems.
Threat hunting. That's important.
It is. And they'll be using endpoint detection and response data for this.
EDR.
Yeah, EDR. Think of it like a real-time security alarm system constantly scanning for any suspicious activity.
Across all those federal networks.
Exactly. It's a major boost to their threat detection capabilities.
And what about other areas like cloud security and state systems? Those seem increasingly vulnerable these days.
You're right. Those are critical areas, and the EO addresses those too.
Okay.
Agencies are being directed to verify the security of their cloud services and providers.
Just making sure those cloud environments are actually secure.
Right. And in a sign of just how wide-ranging this EO is, it even addresses the security of space systems.
Wow. Space systems.
Recognizing the vital role they play in our nation's infrastructure.
It's like cybersecurity is going intergalactic.
It kind of is. From software to the cloud and even space, this EO leaves no stone unturned.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on the infrastructure side.
We have.
But let's shift gears a bit and focus on something that affects all of us. Secure communications.
All right.
What's the EGO doing to safeguard our digital conversations?
Well, strong authentication and encryption are key themes.
Okay, that makes sense.
One interesting detail is the requirement for agencies to cover their internet resources with a registration services agreement.
Okay, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of internet infrastructure. Break that down for our listeners. What's the significance of this agreement?
It's all about securing the way internet traffic is routed.
Okay.
Writing information can be manipulated or misconfigured.
Leading to
data being sent to the wrong place, potentially into the wrong hands.
That's not good.
Not good at all. And this agreement helps ensure that data is routed correctly and securely.
So it's like adding a layer of verification to the internet's address book.
Exactly. Making sure our digital mail is delivered to the right mailbox.
Love that analogy.
Yeah.
And then on top of that,
yeah,
the EO pushes for enabling encrypted DNS protocols.
Encrypted DNS, that's about privacy, right?
Privacy and security.
Okay. Remind our listeners, what is DNS again?
DNS, or domain name system, is basically the internet's phone book.
Okay.
It translates human-readable domain names like google.com into numerical IP addresses that computers use.
Right, because computers speak in numbers, not words.
Exactly.
So encrypting DNS prevents snooping on our browsing activity.
Exactly, giving us more privacy and security.
What other communication safeguards does the EO put in place?
Well, there's a strong push for encrypting email.
Email, always a target.
Right, both in transit and, where practical, using end-to-end encryption.
So making sure our emails are locked down tight.
As much as possible, yes.
That's good.
And then, looking ahead,
yeah,
one really fascinating aspect is the directive to prepare for the transition to post-quantum cryptography.
Post-quantum cryptography. Now, that sounds futuristic.
It is. It's all about developing encryption algorithms that can withstand the power of quantum computers.
Because those quantum computers are going to break all our current encryption, right?
Eventually, yes. As they become more advanced, that's the concern.
So we're building a digital ark, basically, to safeguard our communications in a post-quantum world.
That's a great way to put it.
This EO is really thinking long-term.
It is.
Anticipating those future threats.
Definitely.
But what about the more immediate threats, things like cybercrime and fraud?
Right.
How does the EO address those?
Well, the EO encourages the acceptance of digital identity documents for things like public benefits programs.
To combat identity fraud.
Exactly. Things like mobile driver's licenses.
Okay.
Providing a secure and convenient way to verify identity. But there's a strong emphasis on privacy, making sure these systems are designed with data minimization and interoperability in mind.
So striking that balance between security and privacy.
Absolutely. We don't want to create new vulnerabilities or infringe on people's freedoms.
No, definitely not.
The EO also promotes the use of what are called yes-no validation services.
Yes-no validation. Tell me more about that.
These services confirm whether information matches official records without revealing sensitive details.
So like a privacy-focused background check, basically.
Exactly. Verifying information without oversharing.
Smart.
And then to catch fraud before it happens.
Okay.
There's a pilot program planned for technology that alerts individuals about potential fraudulent use of their identity information.
Specifically in public benefit programs.
Yeah, so people get a heads up if their identity might be compromised.
That's a great idea.
Catching it early is always the best defense.
It really is.
And then, of course, we can't talk about cybersecurity these days without talking about AI.
Artificial intelligence, the big game changer.
Right. And the EO makes it clear that AI is a major focus.
In what way?
It highlights the potential for AI in cyber defense, from identifying vulnerabilities to scaling threat detection and even automating those defense mechanisms.
So it's like AI is our new cybersecurity sidekick.
In a way, yes. It's about leveraging AI's power to enhance our defenses.
That's exciting, but also a bit daunting, right? I mean, how do we make sure AI is secure itself?
You're right. It's a valid concern, and the EO does acknowledge the importance of AI security.
Okay, good.
It emphasizes research priorities in this area, like looking into things like human-AI interaction for cyber analysis, the security of AI-generated code, and designing secure AI systems.
So basically making sure that the AI we use to defend ourselves doesn't become a new attack vector.
Exactly. We need to think several moves ahead, anticipating both the benefits and potential pitfalls of AI in this space.
Like a digital arms race, almost.
In a way, yes. Both attackers and defenders using AI.
Well, we've talked a lot about cutting-edge tech.
We have.
But how does this EO address the more practical side of cybersecurity?
Yeah.
Things like aligning policy with practice.
That's crucial, and the EO doesn't shy away from that.
Okay, good.
It pushes for modernizing federal IT infrastructure and aligning policies to promote security.
Not just on paper, but in actual practice.
Exactly, recognizing that even with the best tech, outdated policies can create vulnerabilities.
Because what good is a state-of-the-art security system if you leave the door unlocked, right?
Precisely. And speaking of setting standards, the EO mandates that NIST identify minimum cybersecurity practices for businesses.
Minimum cybersecurity standards for businesses? That's a big deal.
It is. It could mean that every organization will soon be held to certain security standards.
So a ripple effect from the federal level outward.
Potentially, yes, impacting how organizations of all sizes approach security.
And the EO even mentions including these minimum practices in federal contracts.
Which would definitely raise the bar for cybersecurity across the board.
So it's not just about the government itself. It's about creating a more secure digital ecosystem as a whole.
Exactly. Security baked in at every level.
Are there any other notable policy shifts our listeners should be aware of?
One that I think will have a direct impact on consumers is the inclusion of the United States Cyber Trust Mark labeling for consumer IoT products.
Cyber Trust Mark. Okay, break that down for us.
It's a label that will be applied to consumer Internet of Things products.
Like our smart home devices and all that.
Exactly. Things like that, that meet certain cybersecurity standards.
So like a safety seal for connected devices.
Yeah, letting consumers know they're choosing products that prioritize security.
That could really push manufacturers to prioritize security over just adding flashy features.
I think so, especially as consumers become more aware and demanding.
It's about empowering people to make informed choices about the security of the devices they bring into their homes.
Exactly, putting the power in the hands of the consumer.
Well, from software supply chains to AI, from encrypting our communications to labeling secure devices, this EO seems to be covering all the bases.
It's ambitious, for sure.
It's far-reaching, mm-hmm. And it has the potential to really reshape the cybersecurity landscape in the years to come.
I agree. It lays out a bold vision for a more secure and resilient digital future.
It's going to be fascinating to see how all of this plays out.
Definitely how its various provisions are implemented and what impact they have in the long run.
But one thing's for sure. This EO shows that cybersecurity is being taken seriously at the highest levels.
Absolutely. And it embraces innovation as a key driver in the fight against cyber threats.
Well said. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this first segment.
We have.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to answer some of your questions about this groundbreaking executive order.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone.
We're deep into our exploration of the new executive order on cybersecurity.
And now it's your turn
to guide our discussion.
Exactly. We've got some fantastic questions from our listeners.
So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
Our first question comes from Sarah in Seattle.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah wants to know, this all sounds very promising, but how will we actually know if these measures are effective? Will there be metrics to track success?
That's such a crucial question, Sarah.
Yeah, getting down to brass tacks.
The EO definitely emphasizes accountability.
Okay.
But the specifics on metrics and reporting, those are still being developed.
Makes sense. It's still early days, right?
It is. Many of the deadlines in the EO are set for like 90 or 180 days out.
So we've got some time.
We do, but we can definitely expect oversight and measurement to be key.
Yeah, got to track that progress.
Absolutely. And we'll be keeping a close eye on how that's all shaping up, what those success metrics actually look like.
Transparency and accountability, those are going to be vital.
Absolutely crucial.
Okay, next up we have a question from David in Dallas.
Hey, David.
David asks, the EO mentions China pretty frequently.
It does.
Are these measures specifically targeted at China, or are they meant to be broader in scope?
It's a good question. And it's true that the EO does single out China as a significant source of cyber threats.
Yeah, given recent events, not a huge surprise.
Not really.
But the measures themselves, I mean, they seem designed to strengthen cybersecurity as a whole, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's about building a more resilient digital infrastructure for everyone.
Not just about countering threats from one specific nation.
Right. It's a rising tide lifts all boats approach.
But with a keen awareness of the challenges that China presents.
Exactly. Can't ignore that.
Yeah. Our next question comes from Maria in Miami.
What's up, Maria?
Maria is curious about the whole AI thing.
Yeah.
The interplay between leveraging AI for cybersecurity and then the need for AI security itself.
Right.
She asks, isn't that a bit paradoxical?
It's an excellent point, Maria, because we are essentially using one powerful tool, AI, to try to secure another powerful tool.
Right. Fighting fire with fire, in a sense.
In a way, but I don't think it's as contradictory as it might seem.
Okay.
Every new technology, I mean, it comes with its own set of risks.
That's true.
The key is to proactively identify and mitigate those risks early on.
So thinking ahead.
Exactly. Using AI responsibly and securely.
Making sure the AI we deploy to defend ourselves doesn't become a new attack vector.
Exactly.
Is that why all that research on secure AI systems is so critical?
Couldn't agree more. Got to stay ahead of the game.
Okay, now we have a question from John in Jacksonville.
Hi, John.
John asks, with all this talk about digital identity, is there a risk of creating a digital divide where those without access to technology are left behind?
That's such an important consideration, John, and the EO actually does address that.
Okay.
It acknowledges the importance of making sure everyone can still access those programs, especially vulnerable populations.
Yeah, we can't exclude people who might not have smartphones or reliable internet.
Absolutely. The specifics of how that will be achieved are still being worked out, but equity and accessibility are definitely front and center.
It's vital that these advances in cybersecurity don't come at the expense of those who are already the most vulnerable.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, we've got time for one last question before we wrap up this segment.
All right, let's hear it.
This one comes from Lisa in Los Angeles.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa asks, what can everyday people like me do to improve our own cybersecurity in light of this EO?
That's a great question, Lisa. And even though this EO is focused on federal systems and policies, there are tons of things we can all do.
Like what?
Well, first and foremost, stay informed. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news and best practices.
That's why you're listening to Cyber Mornings Daily, right?
Exactly. Knowledge is power in the cybersecurity world.
Preach.
In addition to staying informed, practice good cyber hygiene.
The basics.
The basics, yeah, like strong passwords.
Multi-factor authentication.
Whenever possible. Yep.
Be wary of those phishing emails.
So important.
And keep your software updated.
Those updates often include important security patches.
Right, don't ignore those.
And don't neglect physical security either.
What do you mean?
Like locking your devices when you're not using them.
Uh-huh.
And being mindful of who has access to them.
That makes sense. And what about all that personal information we share online?
Yeah, that's your digital footprint. Think carefully about what you're sharing. Uh-huh. Review those privacy settings regularly.
Good reminders.
And finally, support organizations and initiatives that are pushing for stronger cybersecurity and privacy protections.
Vote with your wallet.
Exactly. Your voice and your choices, they matter.
We can all contribute to a safer, more secure digital world.
Absolutely, even through our everyday actions.
Well, we've tackled some great questions from our listeners today.
We have.
And I think we've highlighted some of those key concerns and considerations around this EO.
Definitely food for thought.
But before we move on, I'd love to get your take on the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
This EO, it feels like it's part of a broader trend we're seeing in cybersecurity, don't you think?
I think you're right. We are seeing a shift towards more proactive and forward-thinking approaches.
Not just reacting to the latest threat.
Right. It's about anticipating and mitigating those future risks.
Like playing chess, thinking several moves ahead.
Exactly. And this EO seems to be positioning the nation for success in that strategic game.
And one of the key pieces in this strategy is innovation, right?
Absolutely. We've talked about AI.
Right.
But there are other areas where innovation is just as crucial.
Right.
Take post-quantum cryptography, for instance.
Right. PQC.
Like a cutting-edge field with massive implications for the future.
It's like we're preparing for a world where our current encryption methods are obsolete.
Exactly. And by fostering innovation in those areas, we're making sure we're prepared for the challenges of tomorrow.
And it's not just about technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
This EO seems to recognize that cybersecurity is about policy and practice as well.
You're absolutely right. That focus on modernizing federal IT infrastructure, aligning policies to promote security, that's all essential.
Because what good is having all the latest technology if your policies are outdated?
Precisely. They just create vulnerabilities.
This EO really does seem to be pushing for a more holistic approach.
Taking everything into account.
And that potential impact, it goes way beyond the government itself.
Right.
Things like those minimum cybersecurity standards for businesses and the cyber trust mark, that could have huge ripple effects.
Absolutely. Raising the bar for everyone.
It's a vision of a more secure digital ecosystem as a whole.
Security baked in at every level.
And that's a vision worth striving for.
Definitely.
Well, we've explored this EO pretty thoroughly.
We have.
From those technical details to those broader implications.
Covered a lot of ground.
And as always, we encourage you, our listeners, to stay engaged and informed.
Bit curious.
This is a dynamic document, and the implementation will continue to unfold over time.
It will. Definitely a lot more to come.
So stay tuned to Cyber Mornings Daily for all the latest updates and analysis.
We'll keep you in the loop.
And please keep those questions and insights coming.
We love hearing from you.
We're all in this together.
Working towards a more secure and resilient digital world.
Well said. It's amazing to think about all we've talked about today.
I know, right? From software supply chains to AI, even quantum computing.
And what really strikes me is how this EO isn't just about reacting to the current threats.
Yeah.
It feels like a proactive step shaping the future of cybersecurity.
Totally agree. It's recognizing how interconnected our digital world really is.
And how we need to work together.
Yeah, a more strategic approach.
A collaborative approach to defense.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at how the EO talks about working with other governments.
And industry groups, too.
Right, to promote that transition to post-quantum cryptography.
Huge undertaking.
It is, and it shows that cybersecurity goes beyond borders.
It really does. No single country can tackle these threats alone.
We need each other.
We do. Collaboration and information sharing are key.
To stay ahead of the curve.
And exactly, fostering a global cybersecurity ecosystem.
I like that.
Where everyone's working together, developing solutions, sharing best practices.
So this EO is kind of a signal, then a shift in mindset.
Moving away from that reactive approach, you know.
Siloed.
Siloed, exactly, towards something more proactive and collaborative.
Love it. And, you know, another thing that stands out.
Yeah.
Is how the EO stresses aligning policy with practice.
So important.
It's not just about having fancy technology.
Right.
We need policies and practices that actually support strong cybersecurity.
Reinforce it.
Exactly. I think this EO pushes for a more holistic view, taking everything into account.
Technology, policy, human behavior, it's all connected.
It's about building a culture of cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Where security is baked into everything we do online.
Part of our digital DNA.
Love that. And it makes me think about the future.
What do you see?
A future where security isn't an afterthought. It's just how we design things.
How we build things.
How we interact with the digital world.
A secure by design world.
Exactly. That's a powerful vision.
It is.
Well, I think this deep dive has given our listeners a lot to consider.
Definitely a lot to unpack.
We've explored this executive order, analyzed its potential impact.
Thought about its implications.
But this is really just a start, right?
Oh, yeah. The implementation of this EO, it's going to unfold over time.
And we'll be here to keep you informed every step of the way.
Cyber Mornings Daily, your trusted source.
We'll provide updates, analysis, insights as this whole landscape evolves.
It's going to be an interesting ride.
It is. And we want to hear from you, our listeners.
Absolutely. Stay engaged, ask questions, share your perspectives.
Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. We're all in this together.
Building that more secure, resilient digital future.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the executive order on cybersecurity innovation.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, stay safe out there.
And stay informed.
We'll see you on Monday.
For your daily dose of cyber news.